FCUM Radio.
FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Towards it's a goal! Oh, it's the United's Paul Armstrong! First time shot comes in. Jay Cottrell with a screamer!
I don't believe it!
An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
This is FCUM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. I'm Ben Hughes and welcome to this special pre-season edition of This Club Is My Club, recorded here at the delightfully lovely Broadhurst Park, our first pre-season home game of the season. We're here for our coverage of FC United against Hereford FC, which is coming up very, very shortly. Before that, though, there's some other matches which have taken place since you last heard from us, starting off with that little pre-season trip that the club had last weekend away at Winterfer. Sam Rhodes, the physio, was there, and he's come back with a delightful report. And over to Sam Rhodes now with that report.
So, on to FC United's third pre-season match, although in reality, for the majority of Margie's men, it's only their second game so far, with only Harry Winter, George Thompson, Tom Greaves and Matty Wolfenden featuring in Tuesday night's 2-2 draw with West Wisbury and Charlton. For FC's opponents, however, Swiss second division side FC Winterhorn, it was in fact their last pre-season friendly before their league campaign starts. And it was the hosts who made the brighter start, opening the scoring on 5 minutes after a well-worked ball out to the left found fullback Leandro Di Gregorio with enough time and space to drill in a firm low cross, met at the back post by number 7 Lukas Liskovic, leaving Dylan Forth no chance. 10 minutes later, and Winterhorn doubled their lead. With his back to goal, the ball was played into Roman Desarzin, who provided a lovely little flick through, and Lukas Liskovic beat the offside trap and fired past Dylan Forth. 25 minutes in, and Desarzin went from provider to scorer after skipping past Chris Chantner on the left-hand side and hitting a firm low shot across goal into the bottom corner, 3-0 Winterhorn. On the half-hour mark, Winterhorn made it 4. Another ball switched out to the left for Lukas Di Gregorio, and the left-back delivered a superb cross which was expertly finished on the half-volley by Winterhorn number 10, Robin Camber. Half-time saw a change in shape for Margie's men, changing from their standard 4-3-3 to a 3-5-2, with Zach Corbett and George Thompson making way for Luke Ashworth and Dale Johnson. The changes clearly had the desired effect, because within 10 minutes FC were on the score sheet. A lovely chip ball over the top by Harry Winter saw Tom Greaves beat his man for pace, round the keeper and score his third goal in 3 games. As the hour mark approached, Greasy was at it again. This time, after some wonderful interplay between himself and Dale Johnson, the Yorkshireman found himself on the right-hand side of the box, created just enough room to lash home his and FC's second, 4-2. From then on, chances were few and far between. An FC change of shape clearly frustrated their hosts, as they were unable to break down the FC back line and were reduced to several long-range efforts. And the game finished 4-2 to FC Winterhorn. After the match, I asked FC's goalkeeper coach Nick Culkin for his assessment of today's game.
Yeah, I think it was obviously a game of 2 halves. Let's be honest. First half, we got to think about they're a full time team, a lot fitter than us. Their season starts next week, so they're better prepared than we are at the moment. And the first half was pretty one sided, I'd say. They took their chances. Every chance they had, they took. So we found ourselves 4-0 at half time. They were sharp, a lot of runs off the ball, a lot for the lads to look at. We could have sorted things out a little bit earlier by dropping off when they had time on the ball, because they were picking us off quite comfortably in the first half. But we changed the shape in the second half, made a couple of substitutions. And the second half was a different story, completely different story. So taking the positives out of it, the lads had a good run out, a lot of fitness work. Tom Greaves on fire at the minute. We hopefully he takes that form into the season as well. So he got a couple of goals. So a good workout. It's been a good workout and a good experience for the lads.
So you were part of the team that played here 2 years ago, and I know both you and Roger Giggs felt that this side were a much improved comparison to that team. Would you say that's fair?
Yeah, their team were a lot more organised all over the pitch. Everybody knew their roles in when they had possession and when they didn't have possession. The shape changed numerous times. Players were changing positions, swapping positions. The two centre midfielders were changing positions and interacting and stuff like that. It was they're a much better side going forward. I think they'll have a good season.
If you put the scoreline aside, I can imagine you there's quite a lot of value in playing a team that are a level above in terms of fitness. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, that's a great game for us to come and play and for the players to experience that level they all want to aspire to, being a full time football player. And the fitness that's required, the organisation, the professionalism of each player. So it's a good learning curve for our players about how they want to be, how far they want to take their career personally. So it's been a great experience for them and great trip for FC United.
Brilliant. Cheers, Colks. So I'm here now getting the thoughts of Rodri Giggs. Roger, do you think there's quite a lot of benefit in our first team playing a side that are full-time, they're at the end of their pre-season and they're clearly now well-drilled in the way they're going to play, and it helps us to come up against a side like that compared to a team who are a bit like us, just starting their pre-season and experimenting maybe with a few trialists and that sort of thing?
Yeah, it's definitely beneficial playing a team that train every day and are professionals, because obviously you've seen they were much fitter, much stronger. Well, they start their season in a couple of weeks, so you'd expect them to be a lot fitter and a lot stronger. But you know, they're a second division or first division side in Switzerland. We're a non-league side that train twice a week, so it's always going to be tough. But like the second half, they didn't score against us, and we won 2-0, so it was a good performance. It was a good workout, a very good workout, because the first 45 minutes they give us the right run around, but we somehow just sorted it out at half time, and it was a very, very good performance in the second half.
Excellent, thanks Rodri.
So Sam Rhodes there speaking about that lovely trip to Winterfern. A big thanks to Nicky Culkin and Rodri Giggs for their interviews as well, and good work from Sam, that was very impressive. But enough about Winterfern. In fact, no, while we're joined by Stephen Wood now to talk about Nelson midweek, but you did go to Winterfern as well. You had a very nice but expensive curry while you were there. Was it a good trip?
Yeah, it was good. It's a nice place. I mean, it's expensive like you say, but we were only there one full day, really. We were on VT tours from Stuttgart. It was very good. No, it was a good trip.
As Sam and Nick pointed out there, Winterfur professional side, 1 week to go before their season starts. FC United very much in a different place. And it was the third pre-season friendly. 4-2, though. Decent result overall. And was it worth going, do you think, for pre-season prep?
Yeah, of course it is. It's always good. Because, I mean, you've got a few new lads in the squad, haven't they? They want, and some of the young lads. So it's always... If you ignore the football side of things, you can get lads so they know each other, which is important. You need to have the lads together. But, yeah, the match, I mean, after half an hour, it was literally looking like it was going to be double figures. Let's not beat about any bushes. It was men against boys. They were professional. They're at the end of their pre-season. And you can see they were fast. They were bomb at half-time. We changed.
Well, the last time we spoke was at West Didsbury against West Didsbury and Charlton.
West Didsbury against Charlton, yes. And FC United.
Yeah,
busy night though.
What was the performance like compared to that? And what was the team selection like compared to that?
I think it was more the second half that the lads who played at Rill came on.
Right.
Dean Holt was there. Frost and the other completely eluded
Doyle.
Doyle, yeah, they came on second half. And actually, you know what? Second half was a lot better. I mean, we went to three at the back and played two up front. He brought Greavesy on.
Yeah.
And he played up front with Dale Johnson, and actually, if you ever see the video on the YouTube of Greaves' second goal, it was a great link up between the pair of them, and it was a great finish. First half was just
one of them things.
They made changes, but you know what? Yes, so go back to your question. I think trips like that are worthwhile.
So that was Winterfell. Then there's Nelson on Thursday, which we've not covered yet. 4-1 to FC. Two goals from Maidler, a goal from Thompson, and a goal from neutralist Harry Pratt.
Harry Pratt.
Proper Northern name,
absolutely.
That one. How was the match up at Nelson?
Well, they've only got one arm and one eye, haven't they? So that probably explains it.
Yeah,
I always like getting that in.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a true test of what we're going to you know, looking for the season and going ahead, because obviously the North West Counties, I think the Premier, I think, or whatever it's called, the Hallmark cards or something, whatever it's called these days. I know they struggled last year. It's a good run out the first half.
That was the first win of pre-season.
It was the first win of pre-season, and the first half was it 2-0 at half time? I remember how it was. And we played some really, really good football again. Like we've done at times when, like we said in the real commentary, we played some good stuff. It was very similar to that. The standard between on Thursday, probably what we're playing, probably wasn't fantastic, I'll be honest. But you can only play what's in front of you. And you mentioned Harry Pratt there, and you know, he's a young lad. I think he's 19, Margie's just said, I think. 17, 19, I think he's 19. He's from Rochdale, and you know what, he showed some good touch. He's about 6 foot odd.
I was reading a bit of social media after, and a lot of people saying he looked quite good.
Well, I mean, I just briefly spoke to Margie about him now, and he said, well, you know, he had one too many touches at the time, but that's your experience. But he showed power, a bit of pace. He got it behind him twice, one that he didn't quite score, and then one he did score. I don't know if it's on YouTube or it'll be at some point. Maybe it is. Find the goal. The finish was fantastic. George Thompson finished well. Drum seems to have arrived in the background. George Thompson finished well for his goal. Sam Maley plays well. Good performance. Second half, Mardy made a few changes and the performance drops a little. But we still got two goals then. The game was over at half time and 2-0.
A lot of the things said about pre-season, it's about getting game time for the players and getting fitness levels up. Think that's happening and getting that
going? It is, but then the worrying thing is, of course, Greaves and Thompson both went off injured during the game.
I've seen Greaves there.
They're both here, I've noticed before, so hopefully they're fit. But, you know, and that's the problem with pre-season. Of course, you've got to play friendlies, like you say, for precisely what you say. But like any match, you've always got that problem that they can actually get knocked, especially when you play a lower division team who want to try and take a scalp. Yeah. They're going to be putting tackles in. It wasn't a dirty game. There was nothing like that. But, you know, the players are going to pick up knocks. But it was a good run out. I think today's going to be a good test. I think I've got a sneaky feeling we're going to be outnumbered crowd-wise. Which
and a drum.
And a drum as well, as we've heard.
Unfortunate.
But it'll be a good test. See what happens. See what team he plays.
Well, thank you, Stephen Wood.
Not a problem, Ben.
Enjoy yourself today.
Oh, thank you. I will.
So that's the football you've missed since you last heard from us. Thank you to Stephen Wood there explaining what happened in deepest, darkest Lancashire midweek with that 4-1 win. And thank you to Sam Rhodes as well for that Winterfell report. He'll go far, that lad. We're here today for FC United against Hereford. Full coverage coming up very, very shortly, including the post-match thoughts of Carl Marderson. But before that, a special mention has to go out to the ground. The ground looks lovely. There's a lot of work that's gone on here over the summer at Broadhurst Park to get it to this state. And I interviewed one of the volunteers, John Bentley, earlier to hear his views on how lovely the ground looks, as well as the effort that's gone in to make it look this lovely.
This is the first pre-season friendly at home for this season against Hereford. And one of the things that a lot of people who are visiting today and during the season might notice, especially if when you come in August before it starts raining and the pitch gets ruined, is the ground looks very, very impressive. And there's been a lot of work taking place over the summer by volunteers and the ground staff. And one of the people involved is John Bentley, who's joining me now on the pitch. We're not quite on it, we're just it's looking lovely. How much work's gone into sorting some of the problems out of the ground, and what's the challenges been?
If we start with the pitch first, obviously that's Graham's remit, but Graham's away at the moment. But from the last game of the season, the pitch we went into preparation for this season, and if anybody can remember, start of the first season we had sand slits in the pitch, like a giant egg and spoon race it looked like from one part of the ground. We've actually doubled up on those sand slits now, but we've had far more time, far more preparation, and we've obviously learnt a few lessons along the line. And
those little lines they're gone, aren't they?
As you can see, you can't see that at all now. So Graham and Jed have done an absolute wondrous job, and as you just heard there, nobody's allowed. I think they're playing in carpet slippers today, I think. Graham's on holiday this week, and it's probably a good job, because he would be crying now. Graham can actually hear this grass growing. So yeah, there's a massive amount of work being spent on the pitch, but obviously you can see from the perimeter that was one of the biggest jobs. And
yeah, so for the radio listener, the perimeter fence originally was just wood, wasn't it?
Yeah, just plywood.
Whereas now there's been all kinds of work, and we've got loads of breeze blocks around the pitch. Yeah. It's a big job, this, isn't it?
When our friends from Solihull Moors finally kicked the last panel standing just prior to the start of the game, and that just told us that we had to get this done. The perimeter fence that was up was a needs must regulation for the FA ground rules, but we always knew that there had to be something permanent in place. So we looked at any number of options. We looked at aluminium panels, the sort of stuff that you see on much bigger grounds, league grounds, Premier League grounds even. But the most cost-effective solution was what you see now, which almost looks like it's been planned because it matches the breeze block.
Yeah, it's great, yeah.
Front and back. And in terms of the cost of materials, way under £1,500 for the materials, but the labour intensity was going to be the cost element.
So there is, you did a little talk a couple of weeks ago with some of the volunteers. How many bricks was it?
1,464, I think, there's concrete blocks.
There's a man who's had this on his mind for a long time.
I had to buy them. So,
and how many volunteers and man hours did it take to do all this?
We worked probably in total man hours. I would say that there was over 100 man hours, and then you're talking times six core volunteers there, and then we had drop in. Well, the main guys were the bricklayers. You know, Steve Dubot, Mick O'Farrell, Steve Duff, Paul Whitehead. And of course, Graham was ever present. Jed Coyne again. Peter Shaw, main man. Peter Shaw is the main man for any project like this. Well, they're not just built into those there; they're actually tied into the steel as well. So they're drilled and fixed with steel rods. So hopefully, nothing will have them over, and they'll be there for years to come.
So there's the solid perimeter now on the Lightbow Road end, and the park side. Yeah. The MRE is going to stay the way it is.
That has to stay the way it is because that has to be movable for maintenance. You've got to get things on and off the pitch, tractors and the like have got to come on off the pitch.
And obviously, the main stand side as well.
That has to stay the same.
And there was, there's been any other work done on the ground as well?
Yes.
People might not notice.
Within the ground, you can see everything's been freshly painted. We've got a new configuration for the disabled seats at the back of the gallery there. We've had any number of electrical works done. All the electrical equipment's been tested, and we've now got a small snagging list to start work on. Some lighting improvements. We've also got the cabins now on the outside of the ground.
When does work start on the cabins?
They've actually started. If you recall, they were actually at the far corner there. We got delivered to the St Mary's Road end. We've now in situ. They're almost habitable. Got a mains cable in there last week, we've got the drains in. This has all been done by volunteers, by the way, and you know, hats off to all of the guys, but it's the same old faces, yeah. You know, we're quite a close-knit team now, and it's quite enjoyable.
And on the members forum, yeah, if you need help, there's always a post.
Of course, yeah, we've just had a guy come through now. You know, I've not met him. He's a new, you know, he's not a founder member, which is always refreshing. He's going to spend one day a week here doing some electrical work. Top guy, you know, great offer. We've got our usual barney, a painter. Dominic comes in three or four times a week. So it's Dave Simmons is a great regular. Stuart. I could go through, you know.
Absolutely.
Team.
And when you first come here, if a listener's going to come in August, certainly, the pitch just looks absolutely amazing. The stadium looks amazing. And also, we had the news this week about the St Mary's Road End Bar as well, where it's got a, what's the word I'm looking for? It's got a slight extension and
it's got a future.
It's got a future and it's given us a bit more time to get our ducks in a row with it. And I don't want to say quick wins, how corporate I mean, but you know what I mean? That can be done in the meantime.
Well, we knew it was vitally important to show the members. That the ground staff here, the staff within the club, were working as hard as they could to get it open. Dave Payne is a project manager from the original build, has worked wonders with his planning application. And I've got to say again, Peter Shaw, the relationship we have with the planning officers is fantastic. And we knew that if we gave them a plan of the minimum amount of work and we got on with it and we seemed to be getting on with it, they're not unreasonable people. But it was vital for me. I think that's probably the most vital membership element is to get that bar open and get it doing what it's supposed to be doing. And now we could go into the politics of power for change and where the money was coming from. That aside, it's very, very important that's... Because the guys that come from Hereford today, they're underneath there now enjoying it, thinking, wow. You know, it's a wow factor. Now, that is corporate, but we can use that.
Yeah.
You know, it's a wow factor and it's got to stay. It's got to stay... It's got to change for compliance, but it's got to stay the same for character.
Absolutely, I agree. Well, a big congratulations to you, John Graham, and all the volunteers who've been involved over the summit. So it's a cracking achievement, and hopefully the pitch will stay like this all the way through the season.
I doubt it will.
But at least the perimeter will, certainly.
You can hear it crying now.
Do you sometimes feel lonely? Do you long to be a part of something meaningful? Is your marriage no longer giving you the get up and go that you crave so heavily? Well, why not become an FC United member? It only costs £12 a year and you will then own an equal share. FC United is a not-for-profit organisation and your membership fee goes directly towards the running and progression of the club. We are all living in tight times, but ask yourself, do I really need that Xbox game? Do I really need to get the car fixed or to pay my electricity bill? Are my kids' school books really that important? I think you know what to do. Log on to the official website now at fc-utd.co.uk and spend money on something meaningful for once. FC United, a family club.
We're joined by Stattle Paul. Hello, Paul.
Good afternoon.
We're here today for the pre-season friendly between FC United and Hereford. Team news coming up very, very shortly. That said, we should start with the Hereford side because Stattle Paul, this is his debut of the season.
Yes, that's true.
And because it's his first game of the season, he's ultra keen. Therefore, he's done a bit of research for once and decided that he's going to tell us all about the Hereford side in 2 minutes or less.
Okay.
Over to Paul now.
Quick rundown on two or three of the players. Jimmy Oates at right back is an Australian. He played for Central Coast Mariners. So cosmopolitan feel to the game straight away. Jamie Edgware in four. Was snapped up by Arsenal for a six-figure sum when he was 15. And he went through the Arsenal development squad, but obviously didn't make the grade there and moved on. Aaron Birch, number eight, he spent 10 years with West Brom and went through the youth academy without getting a game for the first team. Mike Simons, wearing 11, is known as the Beast, and that's not Diego Costa. This is Hereford's own Beast.
Right.
He's 6 foot three, big, tall striker, holds the ball up, and very prolific goal scorer, so we're told.
Okay, but just to give you the FC United team, Dave Carnell is in goal. We've got Dale Tong at right back, Chris Chandler at left back. We've got Tom Eckersley and Scott Kay playing. I'm assuming it's centre half. Scott Kay will be playing. He's the captain this afternoon as well. We've got Tom Brown, Sam Sheridan and Harry Winter in that midfield trio. Got George Thompson and Sam Madeley in that attacking forward kind of midfield role, and up front we've got Harry Pratt, who comes to us from the Rochdale Academy. He's 18 years old and he scored against Nelson on Thursday night.
Yeah, we've got Tom Greaves on the bench, so presumably what we're doing is we're giving Harry Pratt a bit of a run and just to see whether he can step up to the grade. We've also got some interesting substitutes.
Absolutely.
Including young Matt Walwin. Adriano Basso, if you've not heard about him, is a Brazilian goalkeeper, so it makes you think of players like Felix in the 1970 World Cup. He had a trial with Arsenal. He's actually 41 now, so possibly reaching his peak, who knows.
But he's when we did the podcast last week from West Didsbury and Charlton, loads of people were tweeting us from a Bristol City fan base perspective.
5 years there, yeah.
He's a bit of a legend there, and he's the kind of goalkeeper we wanted, because we always wanted... We've always said here on FC Radio we need a substitute goalkeeper, but yeah, obviously it's very difficult at our level to satisfy the needs of a substitute goalkeeper to get playing time.
Yeah.
Whereas a 40-year-old goalkeeper,
he might be a bit more realistic. I mean, he might be a Culkin, the Culkin of Rio, possibly.
Well, Sao Paulo, I think he's from, actually.
Well, yeah, Sao Paulo then. Yeah.
God, don't make that mistake. Some other substitutes as well. We should say Tom Greaves, I think, went off slightly injured. He picked up a knock at Nelson, which is probably why he's a substitute this afternoon. We have got Adriano Basso, as Paul rightly says. We've got Dean Hope as well, who's from our youth team set up, who I think came on against Will as a centre-half, but he is a midfielder, naturally. Kieran Glynn, I saw him against West Didsbury and Charlton, and a couple of people came up to me and went, who's that number 14? He's superb. Kieran Glynn, he's from Hotwood Hall, which is just up the road up there in Rochdale. As Paul cheekily said, we've also got Matty Walwin. So good they named him twice, Kasimba Kasimba. So he, like Harry Pratt, he's from the Rochdale setup. We've got James Doyle, who again is a youth team player. He comes to us from Blackpool, I believe. Jamie Frost, who impressed against Will, he's from Burnley. And we've got unattached, was the word to explain who Jake Williams is. Jake Williams, number 20. What are you expecting today, Paul?
Well, Hereford, their very first season last season, they got promoted, didn't they? They won their title. They reached the VARS final. So they had a terrific first season. It is a newly created club from the ashes of Hereford United. They're not at our level in terms of the ladder, but... It's always interesting to see at what stage players are in terms of friendlies. We've played, what, three now?
This is our fourth friendly this season, yes.
I don't know how many Hereford have played. They could be much further in terms of fitness than we are, but we'll only know when we get out there.
Having spoken to Margie, I've obviously missed a week because we never went to Winterfell, and Nelson's just a bit too far away for my liking.
Winterfell.
like Winterfield, yeah, exactly. I think it takes about the same amount of time to get there, actually, yeah, as it does to Nelson. So we've been out of touch with the first team, but Margie says he wants every single player to get 3 to 6 hours of game time in pre-season.
That's not on the Game Boy, is it?
No, that's not on the Game Boy at all.
But it is a strong-looking side we put out today. I mean, it's been a bit mix and match, hasn't it, in some of the games, particularly the Charlton game. But he's put out a team that you wouldn't be surprised played in the first match, for instance.
Absolutely. We reckon, having also spoken to Margie about this in the past, we reckon this substituting all the team at half time, yeah, it'll happen less at this match, and certainly I don't think it'll happen at all against Rochdale. He's starting to find the rhythm now.
I think it's better to put an 11 out and give them most of that 90 minutes, and then put a different 11 out and give them most of the 90 minutes than half a game. I don't think this half a game business really gives people a chance, does it?
I agree.
Especially if the trialists. Because you need to give them a proper outing, you know?
Absolutely.
And the rhythm goes completely when you change half a team. That game, did you go to the Hereford game?
No, I didn't, no.
I mean, we changed all bar one, I think, in the second half, and it was just a joke, you know, non-second half, really.
But we're waiting for a kick-off. Hereford are going to be kicking off.
And, of course, it's the backwards kick-off these days.
Yeah, this rule where you only need one person to kick off and the rest of the team can be back is just ridiculous, yeah, isn't it, Paul? What do you think about it?
I think it's a backward step, but there you go.
First joke of the afternoon. Welcome to FC Live, and the game is underway. Sheridan on the ball. Sheridan puts his right foot behind that one towards Walwyn. Can't get it though, but Hope picks up the ball, and Hope plays it outright for Williams, and that ball sped up all of a sudden, and Williams is quick enough to get to it and gets the ball. Heading down the right hand side he goes, crosses this ball in. It's a good cross for Walwyn, and it's headed forward for Greaves on the far post.
Greaves got the last touch, I think.
And absolutely.
We've got another pitch invasion, rather stupidly.
But just to say, Jake Williams there on the right hand side, yeah, the ball, the original pass from Hope, it suddenly sped up, but he was quick enough to get to it. And the speed of the pass from Hope and the control from Williams just kept Williams going, gets the momentum, keeps going, crosses the ball in. Walwyn's there, he just gets enough on it. It then goes towards the back post where Greaves is, and Greaves does what he does best. Proper poacher's goal.
Scores nearly all our goals in friendlies.
And 1-0 to FC United. There you
and
go.
And that's the final whistle.
Full time here, and an excellent game of football in that second half. It's finished 1-0 to FC United. The winning goal scored by Tom Greaves, but that was an excellent pre-season friendly.
I think what we've seen in previous seasons with friendlies is we've seen a lot of trialists coming and going. Some of them have been like journeymen who've been around a bit. Some of them have been rather anonymous. I think what we've seen today, particularly in the second half, we've seen two or three young players go on as substitutes and actually thrive in the environment. Jake Williams came on as right back, and he's really shone. He's looked really immaculate in the part, as you were saying, a Matty Taylor style performance, getting forward, distributing the ball well, not frightened of getting in the challenge. Further forward, we've got the magic feet of Kieran Glynn, who really, not only can he beat players, he's got vision, he's got good control, he sees the pass, and you know, he on another day would have made a goal for Tom Greaves. Got a lot of admiration for the young players who came on in the second half and put on a bit of a show there.
Absolutely.
But ultimately, as we've been saying all afternoon, Scott Kay has been almost like Martin Buchan in the way he's read the play, snuffed out the danger so much from centre-back, tidied up, got us out of a few scrapes. Excellent performance from Scott Kay.
He was superb, and we reckon he's man of the match, and not just because he played the full 90 minutes, which is rare in an FC friendly, to be honest. He was superb, to be fair. Let's go through some of the performances then, which I think are worth mentioning. We mentioned Scott Kay. Eckersley did well as well, we should say, as well.
Yeah.
Dale Tong played in two positions. He played right back in the first half, centre mid in the second half, and didn't seem to be too confused by the position.
He's played there before, I think, for various clubs, and I don't think he's phased by that. He did fairly well. I think Sheridan
superb in the
Sheridan
in the first
played
half.
The role round beautifully in the first half.
We should mention as well the substitutes, because As promised, Margie didn't make the 12 substitutions at half-time trick. He did it steadily, and that's good. And some of the standout performances. Now, Kieran Glynn, we saw him at West Isbury and Charlton, and my word, 17, something like that. My goodness, he's what got composure, great. What skill, he's strength as well.
He's got great potential. Obviously, the league that we're in is a hard environment, and young players get found out sometimes very quickly. But Glynn is certainly one to look at for the future, isn't he? I mean, if he gets a bit of game time.
One for the future, would you put? He's got to be in the first team squad, hasn't he? Or certainly in the reserves.
Well, yeah, I would definitely have him in the first team squad. I think as a substitute to begin with. Give him a bit of a feel for the big occasion. But yeah, he really does look a footballer, doesn't he?
He does.
He's got all the attributes. The physical side is possibly the only one that he needs to be tested on now.
Now, the other one I'd like to mention is Jake Williams, who played right back. When I spoke to Margie before the game, just to get details on who these new players are, he said unattached. Okay, so he's come here from no one in particular. And Jake Williams played right back in the second half. And I said it midway through the second half, there's an air of Matty Taylor about him. He's athletic, he's good on the ball. He doesn't suffer fools gladly. He's there winning headers and tackles. He's good, innit?
I would be getting some registration forms out personally pretty quickly, because one or two of these players, if we don't sign them up, somebody else will. You know.
The other player I'd like to mention as well is Adriano Basso.
Yeah, the 41-year-old Brazilian maestro.
Yes, obviously he's got a big fan base at Bristol City, and I can see why.
Three superb saves.
Absolutely, he's done one. Save to his right hand side, down low, got a really athletic save. Then there was the one where he's diving to his left hand side and claims the ball, and then there's the point blank head away. He just palms it away and gets the ball away from any danger.
I'd have no qualms about him standing in for Carnell if he had to during the season, from what I've seen of him today.
And what we've seen from him, he could give Carnell run for his money, actually.
Well, I mean, if we're going to keep him, I would say that we need to play him occasionally, mm-hmm. because otherwise, we're not going to get anything out of him, are we?
Some other substitutions made as well. Jamie Frost, who we saw him at Real playing left wing, today he's played left back. And again, he's good there. He was good at left back, a lot of promise. We've got James Doyle as well, but Dean Hope. Now, the goal in particular that Tom Greaves scored, it relied heavily on a cross that came in from Jake Williams.
Yeah.
But that run that Jake Williams made, I think, was aided. It was helped a lot by Dean Hope's switching pass across midfield to find Jake Williams.
Yeah.
He had a lot of pace in that ball, a lot of fizz and panache. And the cross comes in. Mount Walwyn, who came on as a sub, who did a decent job as well, we have to say. It went through him and straight to Greaves on the back post, 1-0, and the winning goal.
I mean, it's interesting, Swampy was talking pre-season and saying that we needed
six or seven.
Well, you might have seen a few
Absolutely. I think that's the case.
I'm not saying that we've got a ready-made team, but we've certainly got some great promise there for the future. And maybe we don't have to go out and look for X, Y and Z at other clubs. You know, we might have some people actually, you know, under our noses here that could do a good job.
This is the second win of pre-season. Obviously there was the Nelson victory midweek, and I enjoyed that game.
You've got an air of confidence now, and
obviously Hereford are a step four side, we know this. It's hardly Stockport County or Salford City or Darlington, but you're looking for individual performances, and the individual performances were there today from FC United. We obviously mentioned Scott Kay, who was playing centre-back, captain today, and it was a captain's performance. He was superb. And there's a lot to be excited about with that team. We're not getting carried away. Obviously, as we said, Hereford are not Salford City or Stockport County, but I'm optimistic.
I think there were concerns about the way our academy wasn't creating young talent come through.
Yes.
But having looked this afternoon, I'm not saying all these are our academy players, because they're not, but I would say that what we've seen this afternoon is good young talent that, given the right nourishment, you know, the kind of nurturing, could well play a part in FC's future, certainly in, you know, this season and beyond.
Thanks for joining us, Carl, after that one. A 1-0 win, you happy with that?
Yeah, I thought it was a great workout, really. I thought the first half was pretty even. We didn't play the way that we normally play, forcing too many balls and trying too much fancy stuff, really.
But then second half, thought we dominated, changed the shape a little bit, and got a good goal as well.
It's the first commentary we've done since Rill away, and you can see, I think we said on the way home from Rill, that you could see the passes were being made, but no one was on the right wavelength. You could see they were starting to click a bit.
Yeah, and you know that will continue over the next couple of weeks and into the season as it always is, whatever club you're at. Then breaks once you're up to match speed and stuff. Once you step off the pedal, you have a 2 or 3 week break or whatever the lads have had, probably 4 weeks. It's difficult to get your touch and the feel back and your vision and your thinking and all that. So that's coming.
And is it going to the plan? I think we spoke about each player getting 3 to 6 hours worth of game time over.
Yeah, well, we aim to, and more so in respect of making sure that at least everyone gets one full 90 minutes. You know, we're nearly there now. So yeah, it's going to plan.
Let's talk about some of the players who did 90 minutes. And you didn't do the mass substitutions at half time. You eased players in. Scott Kay, though, who was captain this afternoon. I think Paul described it as a Buchan performance. It was excellent.
I think we're better than Buchan, to be honest. he's an excellent player, absolutely fantastic. And wherever we're playing, whether that be at centre back or in holding all the midfield, he does things right. And we're really pleased to have him.
Now it's difficult to tell, obviously, when you're playing a step four side, essentially, whether those players who've come on can handle it maybe against Stockport County away. But we should say some of the players who come to the club over the summer, some of them are quite special, and I don't mean to put too much pressure on the lad, but Kieran Glynn he's not bad, is he?
He's not bad.
We'll stick with that, man. That means obviously we're keeping him under wraps, which is good. Obviously there's Jamie Frost as well. I saw him play left wing against Rill. Played left back today. Went out of his depth at left back.
No, I think it's something that we can talk to Jamie about, because I think he's not got a fantastic burst of pace. He's got good feet, and
good tacklers.
Yeah, fantastic. You know, really brave. When we put him on at Winterthur as the left wing back, he did a great job. So another one that's done really well. But I thought, to be honest, all the young lads that came on showed real promise, and you know we've seen it over the time. Which I would imagine it's, I don't want to speak too soon, but I think it'd be tough on them to be playing every week. They're still learning the game. Yeah. But there's great.
Being at Broadhurst, we've got a good development set up.
Yeah, all that kind of thing. And also when they get involved with the first team then, and they've got the likes of Dale Tong, Tommy Greaves.
Tom was good today.
Tommy Greaves, you've got Scott Kay, Chris Chandler, all lads who played at professional clubs and know what's expected. And they'll pass that experience on. They're only going to get better.
Can I just mention Jake Williams as well? I said in commentary he's got an air of Matty Taylor about him. There's a name from the past. He's strong, he wins headers, he's got great ball control, he's good. And when I asked you earlier where's he from, you said unattached, and goes to show you the talent that's around the non-league world in this area.
Yeah, it's ask yourself the question, why is he unattached? And in the performances that we've seen in Nelson and then again today, he's got a chance. So yeah, it's all things that we need to be tidying up, and getting. Trouble is, the squad could end up too big, and I don't really want to end.
And speaking of the end, this is nearly the end of the interview. We mentioned the young lads, but just a quick mention for Basso as well. Obviously, he's a 40-year-old youngster, but agility-wise, I remember playing football with my dad when he was in his 40s. He couldn't do saves like that.
No. He's excellent. He really is. When he came at the end of last year in training, Nick Culkin was waxing lyrical about him. Since Culks has now stepped up into the goalkeeper coach role, again, waxing lyrical. He's as fit as a fiddle. In all the training, the pre-season stuff that goalkeepers do, which is notoriously hard. He's been excellent. We saw it a little bit at West Indies and Cheltenham, but we saw today the reason why he's played 200 league games, and even at 40, 41, has done done well again.
And Mosley midweek, making the changes again there, but with...
I've not had a look at the minutes. We'll have a look at the minutes and see which players are going to be.
Because this is what the pre-season is. I think this is the most organised pre-season we've had. We're talking spreadsheets here and kinds of tabs and things and sums going on. It's proper.
Yeah, but, you know, it's something... Every year we try to aim to get that little bit more professional. And, you know, we've achieved that over the past 11 years and now we wanted to ramp it up just that little bit more. You know, as we said right at the start, to go in and have a real professional approach would have been too much of a shock to the system for the players at that level. As we're seeing now, players of a certain vintage and also younger players are embracing that professional approach. So it's one that we will continue with, and you know, but do it in a way that's the right kind of environment. For the younger players to grow and the experienced lads to keep enjoying the football.
Well, Carl, be well done today and have a lovely week and enjoy the awards tonight.
So, FC United are now back in action on Tuesday with that away trip to Mosley. FC Live won't be there because we don't take that radio bag up the hill unless it's a league match, and thankfully a league match between FC United and Mosley ain't going to happen too soon, because that walk up that hill with a radio bag is something else.
Legendary.
But if you'd like to go to Seal Park, the address is Seal Park, that's Market Street in Mosley, OL5OES. It's just a slight walk up a hill from the train station as well, and it's actually a lovely view when you get up there, and Mosley's a cracking club, we should say. So that's taking place on Tuesday, 7:45 kickoff. FC Live will be back for the next home friendly, which is against Rochdale. That's taking place this Saturday, 3:00 kickoff. If you can't make it though, FC Live will be there from 2:30 p.m. A big thank you to Stato Paul for joining me for this privileged afternoon here of football at Broadhurst.
If you've not had your fill of FC football this weekend, the women's team have got a friendly tomorrow.
Absolutely. And we should say congratulations to a certain player who wins the FCUM Radio Player of the Season Award. We can't say who that is at the moment.
No,
but congratulations to that prominent player from last season who played a lot of games for FC, which is a rare thing. That's not why he won the award.
No.
It certainly helped.
Not in itself.
And congratulations as well to Leah Hartshorn, who won the FC Young Radio Player of the Year for the women's team.
Yep.
Your award is actually here at Broadhurst Park, Leah. Long-awaited award. And you'll be giving that tomorrow for that match. What's the match tomorrow? Just before we go. You don't even know, dear. It's against Fylde Ladies.
That's it.
And it's a 2 o'clock kickoff here at Broadhurst Park, so head down to Broadhurst Park tomorrow afternoon. This has been FC Live, brought to you by constructivecoding.com and the Armchair Army. It's finished here 1-0 to FC United. We'll see you all again on Saturday for FC United against Rochdale. Have fun, have a lovely weekend. Goodbye, everyone.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.